Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. Three, four big stories to talk about this morning. One coming in from our source close to United, the person who told us that Man United would make a big signing before the World Cup. But we've got another update about the mind games United are playing around their main marquee midfield signing. Also, a little bit about Rashford. A fascinatingly funny thing about Steve Holland, and he's got aura. And also some interesting stuff coming in around Tonali, Real Madrid, Jose Mourinho as well. But I want to just start off with something from last night's show. I feel a little bit like Ollie when he apologised to Rashford before the press conference all them years ago. So look, I knew this would happen. Obviously, the clip of me talking about Man United potentially getting Lewis Hall has gone out there. And as typically predicted, Newcastle fans have picked up on it and used abuse, as some of them do. I wish they'd use their bloody ears instead of using abuse, because all I said last night was that if Lewis Hall wants to leave Newcastle, he has to do it. Man United can't knock on the door and say, there's £50 million for Lewis Hall, because Newcastle won't do anything. If Lewis Hall wants to come to Man United or anywhere else, he's going to have to put a transfer request, isn't he? And I said, like, you know, obviously the news is coming out that he's not happy at Newcastle. This is coming, I think Ben Jacobs mentioned it on our show. A couple of other people have mentioned it. And I just said, look, I don't think we'll get Lewis Hall. I think it's too good to be true. But if it's going to happen, United can't really push that. I can't even blame Wilcox or anyone. We can't really push that until he says he wants to leave. Typically, some Newcastle fans have, you know, taken that, not listened to that, and interpreted it as we're signing Lewis Hall, which at no point nobody's ever said. So you get stuff like, well, abuse, but you also get stuff like Lewis Hall and his family are Newcastle fans. You really think he's going to shit on the club? And then we all get called idiots because we think he's going to leave after one game, etc., etc. Look, wasn't said. I think Lewis Hall probably will stay at Newcastle, but if he wants to leave, he's got to push that, and Newcastle have got to agree with it. And if that happens, then hopefully Man United do something about it. But I don't think there's a United fan out there saying we're going to get Lewis Hall. We're all eyes wide open to the situation, and maybe he will stay at Newcastle. Simple as that. Anyway, let's talk first of all about the midfield mind games that are going to be played by Manchester United. So remember a couple of weeks ago, I told you, our source told us that Manchester United were going to make a big signing before the World Cup. Some people laughed. Obviously, I think that's going to happen with Ederson, and it might happen with Fernandes or somebody else as well. So the latest we've got this morning is that Manchester United are very relaxed about the situation with regards to the main Casemiro signing. They're not in a rush. They don't need to be in a rush. There are scenarios that can play out. And one of those scenarios is obviously Elliot Anderson. If he decided to choose Man United over Man City, then Man United would make that move. If he chooses Man City, then Man United have Tchouameni. And we'll talk about the developments around that in a moment, but that might take 2 months, and Man United would be happy to wait 2 months to get a player of that quality. So the plan at Man United is to get one or two midfielders in as early as possible, and then the Casemiro replacement might happen in June, might not happen till the start of August, but United are quite relaxed about that if they can get the two midfielders in first. So probably not a major surprise, really, but I think that what's coming out of United, from what we were told, is that United are very relaxed about this summer transfer window. Now, we've heard this before, and I'm sure there will be some, you know, doom merchants that say, I don't like the sound of this. But we have heard that United are relaxed in the past, but I think that on this scenario, Ederson will sign imminently. We then have a clear path at Fernandes or maybe somebody else, maybe Alex Scott, maybe Belaba, whatever. And then you've got time to make sure you get the right guy in. And ultimately, when you do sign a player of the caliber of Anderson or Tchouaméni or Tonali, it probably doesn't happen as quick as some people would like. So United very relaxed about this summer. You might have to be a little bit patient on it, but the signs are good. Now, let me take you through the targets as to, you know, who it's likely to be. Well, Real Madrid have presidential elections, which I mentioned the other day. Really interesting stuff coming out of Madrid, though. Jose Mourinho has still signed a 3-year deal. If Florentino Perez loses the election, then it'll be a different guy in charge who might not want Mourinho. So I don't know how that works, but I think Perez is expected to win. As part of that election, it actually helps us because for the first time in, I think, a couple of elections, Florentino Perez is actually being opposed by somebody. So he has to win those elections, but also to do that, he's got to, you know, show to the members that he's the right guy to do it. Part of that is going to be Mourinho back and backing him. Now, what's coming out of Madrid is that Jose Mourinho will want certain players in his midfield and he wants certain players out of that midfield. What's also coming out of Madrid is that there's no situation where Valverde and Tchouaméni stay together in that team next season. It's just not. It's an own goal from the club. It's an own goal from Mourinho, because if they play badly next season, everyone will say he should have got rid of one of them. So it might be a case of waiting, but the chances are that if you're choosing between Valverde and Tchouaméni, you will choose Valverde, and they know that United will pay for Tchouaméni as well. So the feeling around Madrid is, and a lot of Madrid fans would like to keep Tchouaméni. They like him. But the feeling is Mourinho will want his own players. He will solve that situation that needs solving by keeping Valverde, and Tchouaméni will be moved on. Now, I wouldn't say that there's an 80% chance that he's going to sign for Manchester United, but I would say that it looks logical that Tchouaméni will leave Real Madrid. Now, he doesn't necessarily want to go, but there is an acknowledgement from his camp that Man United really, really want him. And there is an acknowledgement from Real Madrid that they would do a deal with us. Now, a year ago, I don't think Tchouaméni would have come to Manchester United, but we've seen him do those interviews with Varane talking about coming to Man United. He's seen Casemiro go there. We're a massive club. We're still in the Champions League, and there is an opportunity to go in there and start every week in a team that is hopefully going to be on the way up. So I think that maybe Tchouaméni at this stage does make the most sense if Anderson leaves Forest to go to Manchester City. But patience is probably going to be the key. The expectation is that Edison and another will come in before the end of June. And then in July, probably late July, early August, we will make a signing to replace Casemiro. So what are your thoughts are on that? I think that I still really like Tonali. I've said that before. I still really like Tonali, but I do probably agree with some of you that the Elliot Anderson thing pisses me off. It really pisses me off. And as I said to you, I think it was last weekend, if it's Christmas Day morning and my whole family have been hinting that I'm getting a PS5 for 9 months, and then I open up my presents and it's not a PS5, I'm going to be an ungrateful shit. I'm sorry. I'm ruining Christmas. You know, shove your turkey up your ass. Like, and that's not my fault. You did it. You know, when I was at my friend's birthday party and he got a bloody Xbox and you were there going, don't worry, we're getting a PS5. We're getting a PS5. Where is it? And I do feel like that is something that is modern football, but United have played a part in that, because I know how it works. You know how it works. And if Fabrizio Romano or David Ornstein or The Athletic or Ben Jacobs or the Manchester Evening News, and they've all done it more than once, are saying that Elliot Anderson is Man United's top priority, it's not Samuel Lookhurst in the Sun on his own, is it? It's everybody saying that Elliot Anderson is Man United's number one priority for 9 months. And then he signs for Manchester City. And I think, look, there's nothing wrong with him signing for Man City. There's nothing wrong with fans having a fan theory that Elliot Anderson is perfect for us. But this has been pushed by the club for 9 months. They could have shut this down. So ultimately, what you're telling me is, is that when your financial figures come out, they're propped up by ripping your fans off. You know, making the same amount of money from 10 games that you made from 15 last year tells me everything about this ownership. It's about ripping your fans off. So not only are you ripping your fans off financially, and let's be honest, most Man United fans are just sat there like gullible fish now going, you know, like bloody seals clapping. I mean, there is no movement against the Glazers at all anymore. So they're ripping their fans off and then coming out and going, look at our profits, everybody. Look at our profits. And you go, and there's people going, look, trust. Oh, trust this ownership. Trust it. Yeah, trust them to rip you off. Yeah, well done. Have you made that money then by ripping the fans off again? Well done. Yeah, great. Have you brought the debt down? No. Okay, so debt loaded on by you lot and serviced by us lot. Great. Well done on that one. And then on top of that, not only are they ripping us all off to make their financials look good, they're also manipulating us with bullshit. Lying, effectively. Oh, Elliot Anderson for 9 months, and then it doesn't happen. And not only does it not happen, it doesn't happen because they go, oh, can I just shock you, actually? For 9 months, I can't believe we've done it. For 9 months, we've told you that he's our obsession and he's our number one priority and he's perfect for our midfield. And we've got you all excited. And you know, we could have stopped at any point, but we've carried on doing it for our own benefit. Because the lie has been very beneficial for us, let's be honest. And we've kept lying and we've kept putting it out there that we want Elliot Anderson. And actually, when it comes down to it, we're not willing to pay for it. We knew the price, but we just thought for 9 months we'd pretend that we wanted him. And then when it comes down to it, we'd put a story out saying that it's overpaying. And that's what they've done. That is what they've done. They've got no intention of going for Elliot Anderson because it's too expensive. But they'll spend 9 months telling us that that's what they want to do. So when we don't get Elliot Anderson, if we don't get Elliot Anderson, it will still piss me off. Yes, there's other options in the shop. There's Chiellini, there's Tonali, but that will still piss me off because I didn't ask them to do that. You didn't ask them to do that. Why have you played your own fan base for 9 months and then when it comes down to it, gone, oh, actually, we can't afford him. Let's let him go to our biggest City rival, you know? So, it will piss me off. But I think we do need to be patient if he signs for Manchester City. I still think at the moment there is a big chance of Chiellini, which is nice, actually, because I want to bring in the hotometer, actually. Saturday morning treat, you see. We don't stop for the weekend. There is a new updated hotometer I want to bring in here, which fits in perfectly with what we're talking about with the midfield. So that is the hotometer as it stands at the moment. I've just realised it's not new. I showed you this yesterday. But I still have Anderson there as a 7, Chiellini as a 6. Fernandez 7, Edison is a 9 out of 10, Belaba 5, Scott 4, and Rogers 4. I think that's very accurate at the moment. I still think that's very accurate. Until Anderson holds up a Man City shirt, I refuse to believe that we're not going to get him. I'll play the game and I'll play the club at their own game. But I do concede that I think Chiellini might be the player that Man United get, but it could take some time. It could take some time. It could take a few weeks. Let's wait and see. What I just want to say here, actually, just got a few super chats. Then I want to talk about this Tonali nonsense. Katie says, Chiellini was on the bench for the last game and Valverde played. So they shared the dressing room, which would suggest they have at least somewhat sorted matters. Not sure we will get Chiellini. Katie, without being disrespectful, this is getting on my bloody nerves. Why is it so high? Without being disrespectful, do you not answer your own question there? Are you not answering your own question? Like, in the sense that one was on the bench and one wasn't. They are paid huge amounts of money. Right. Imagine you've got two players at Real Madrid on huge amounts of money. They have a fallout. Physically, what would you do if you were Real Madrid? I would say, I want statements from you and you apologising or you're in breach of contract. And for the rest of this season, you put on a show or you bury your differences. So Real Madrid will solve that problem in the summer. It's embarrassing for Real Madrid. They will solve that problem in the summer. If Tchouaméni leaves Real Madrid, I'd be most worried about Liverpool. They've been in for him before and need a CDM. We can't be too relaxed if there's a deal to be made. Well, look, Goldfridge, I'm not going to deny that there could be other people in the shop for him, but I think there's a chance that he's going to leave Real Madrid. Will fans accept 100 million and 300k a week for Anderson, says V33? I mean, what fan? I mean, are you telling me we've got football fans that would moan about us signing Elliot Anderson and giving him 250 grand a week? I mean, they don't deserve to support Man United if they think stupid stuff like that. I mean, last time I checked, what? I mean, I don't remember people being on the streets when we paid Sanchez 400 grand a week. I don't remember people being on the streets when we gave Mason Mount 250 grand a week. I mean, and now we go on the streets because we sign a player that we actually bloody need. Come on. Don't be accountants, be football fans. If we didn't give Amorim the players he needs, why would it be different with Carrick, says Anshul? And Jack says, Scott, Edison and Anderson are my ideal midfield three. What's yours? First ever Super Chat. Love the show. Listen every day and work. Keep it up. Well, lovely message, Jack. My ideal Man United midfield three would be Scott, Stiller and Tenali this morning. It could change, but I'd quite like that as a midfield three at the moment. I think there's a good... good mix there. Will Phantom, not one, thank you very much. Goldfridge, we've done that. Emily Derry says, honestly, in some ways, I prefer a midfield of Tchouaméni, Edison and Fernandez slash Scott. But Anderson is such a good player that we can't ignore the opportunity if he chooses this. I completely agree. I also think Tchouaméni, Edison and Fernandez slash Scott is the most likely midfield at the moment. Have you watched Obsession, says Raja? I really enjoyed it, yeah. Why are we so focused on Premier League proven players, says Harry? Hit the ground running, I suppose. Steve says, I was 40 this week. Happy birthday. Any words of wisdom for me? Thanks to you and the United Stand for all the work you do. Bring on Champions League next season. Don't forget Champions League watch along with me on That's Football tonight at 5 p.m. UK time. Words of wisdom for Steve and his super chat because he's 40. No one's guaranteed a 40th, Steve. No one's guaranteed a 50th. No one's guaranteed a 30th. So don't fixate on age. Fixate on you. You're an individual. I think we spend too much time comparing ourselves to others. As I said, some people don't make 40. Some people don't make 50. Some people make 100. But you've got to live in your own lane. Some 40-year-olds look like they're 25. Some 25-year-olds look like they're 60. So don't get fixated by age. There is an 8 p.m. show tonight. Yes, Warrior. I think Edison is a smokescreen to make us look less desperate when negotiating for Scott and Fernandez, then walk away from the Edison deal, says Razzler. I mean, I think that would be harsh. That would be harsh. And I think based on the way we play, we also need to look at who works DM well with our centre-backs. Any updates on De Ligt? With him back, I see a big upgrade, says Ryan. Well, we'll know more about De Ligt in the new pre-season, won't we? He's had the operation on his back. He's missing the World Cup. I think he either comes back from this or he doesn't. Mbeumo and Cunha are centre-forwards. Think we may be overlooking the importance of a backup centre-forward. They're not centre-forwards, says Gaz. Interestingly, on the centre-forward scenario, I don't think we're going to sign a centre-forward. I don't know who this centre-forward would be, and I don't think we're going to sign one. Some of you have mentioned Vlahovic. He's on 400 grand a week and he's a free agent. So we're not paying those wages. We're not even going to pay half those wages. Mateta is being linked to Juventus again. So he looks like he's heading there. I just don't know where we would go. I do agree that we do need one, but I don't know where we would go. Stam says, what's the difference between a club approaching a player to make sure they want to move to them and tapping up? Is it just the going through an agent? I don't think tapping up exists anymore, Stam. I mean, everybody does it. Legally, you're not allowed to tap players up under contract, but everybody does it. Everybody does it. Lewis Hall, do you think he's the best option out there in that position we could sign, says Mac? I think Lewis Hall is the best option, I think, that's available, if he's available. But there are other options. There's people like Truffert as well. So, and Goldio says, if we got Anderson and Tchouaméni, are we a step closer to a title? Not going to happen, though. I mean, I think if you bought two players of that quality, you would expect a big increase in Man United's title perspectives. Yeah. Prospects. Arshan says, probably with City getting Elliot, is the board said whole 9 months we want him. If they didn't say that, we wouldn't get frustrated with City getting him, says Arshan. And it's your boy Cal. Thanks for being a member for 86 months. Thank you very much. Gahey is on 350k a week. Anderson will want the same. I don't. Gahee's wage seems to go up by the day. I mean, he's not on 350 grand a week for a start. He might be on 300k with bonuses, but he's not on 350. You can't just keep adding stuff on to make it look. Maybe you're a glazer, but you can't just keep coming in here and talking about 300k a week, 350k a week for Elliot Anderson when we've got no idea what he wants. And ultimately, you're talking to somebody that, if it's the right player, I don't really care about what we pay them. If it's £500,000 a week, I might say no. But if we're talking about a player that's going to massively enhance our chances of being successful, they have a value. And, you know, Bruno Fernandes is easily worth whatever he wants because he's just absolutely essential to us. We're a hypocrite as a football club. We don't want to pay people over 200 grand a week, but we pay Mason Mount 250 grand a week to dance and laugh around on a photo shoot. I mean, that's basically what Mason Mount's done for the last few years. Because bless him, he's never fit. Most of Mason Mount's wages go on photo shoots for the new kits. So we're a hypocritical football club, really, because we don't want to pay over 200 grand a week, but we do pay over 200 grand a week for players that offer nothing. But then we use that as a reason not to do it. No, we never should have bought Mason Mount. He had injury issues before we signed him, and we ignored it, and we paid the price. Elliot Anderson's one of the best players in Europe before we sign him. It's a big difference, isn't it? People are worth big wages if they tick the boxes. We paid stupid wages for stupid players, and we gave him the number 7 shirt, and we paid £55 million for a player with 1 year left on his contract. It was a stupid deal. We gave fucking Onana 100 grand a week and £50 million to Inter. Stupid deal. Yeah, we make stupid deals, and then it stops us making good deals. It's madness. Nate, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you very much. Fans should push for Stiller. What a player, says Francis. They're not going to listen to fans, mate. They're not going to listen to fans, unfortunately. It's Nike says, morning, Mark, completely unrelated, but all the Bruno's haters say that Bruno also made us finish 15th last year. That was an Onana single-handedly. I don't really get that one. I don't really get that one. In fact, it brings me nicely onto Tonali. I don't really get that one, that Bruno made us finish 15th last year, because I specifically remember having these conversations a year ago about if we didn't have Bruno, we'd have been relegated. So I don't know. I mean, look, I don't know what that's all about. I think because of Champions League, we need backups in the same and high level as the starting players. How possible is it that we get two DMs who give above 7 and 8 every game, says Ayus. Well, I think every player's got to be somebody, you know, whether it's Edison, Fernandes, Tonali, Scott, Chiellini, Anderson, out of the three players that we sign, every single one of them has got to be a player that has the capability of starting for Manchester United. Absolutely. But look, I think this sort of fits in with what you were talking about with Bruno there. And, you know, some people don't like Bruno, some people do like Bruno. It's the same with other players in the team. But I saw a clip from, it was actually True Geordie, and a few United fans have sort of clipped onto it, where he was talking about Elliot Anderson and Tonali, and basically sort of saying that Tonali doesn't give you anything compared to Elliot Anderson. And then a few United fans have gone on it and sort of compared Tonali's stats to Edison's stats. And I'm like, this is where you get stupid. Because as I said in answer to that question a couple of minutes ago, my dream midfield this morning would be Tonali, Stiller and Scott. Now, tomorrow it might be Anderson again. I like Anderson and I like Tonali, but I'm not going to sit here and be told that Tonali is shit and that, you know, Edison's better and Anderson's better. I think True Geordie's probably got his arse in his hands because they haven't sacked Eddie Howe. He's just very angry with his team at the moment, which is completely understandable. But, you know, Newcastle Football Club is not an exclusive club where only Newcastle fans get to watch them. Unfortunately, for them, I and you have probably watched a lot of Newcastle games over this season and last season. Also the Champions League games. Tonali, up until Newcastle getting knocked out of the Champions League, was playing like one of the best midfielders in Europe. He was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. He's a very, very good player. Now, he doesn't get you goals and he doesn't get you assists. But if we're going to live football through the lens of, oh, he doesn't get you any goals and he doesn't get you assists, well, not every player does do that. I mean, breaking news, sometimes a player gets you no goals, no assists, but is your best player. Because they conduct, they dictate, they drive. And Tonali is a fantastic player who, in a better team, well, why do Arsenal want Tonali then? If he's so shit, why do Arsenal want Tonali? Why have Real Madrid looked at Tonali? He's a very, very good player. And I think he conducts much the same as Michael Carrick. Michael Carrick didn't get many goals or assists, but what a player. You know, you listen to people like Wayne Rooney and other people that played with Carrick, and they would say, look, all the goals, everything I get doesn't happen without people like Michael Carrick who run the team from deeper. I think Tonali is not going to stand up statistically. He won't be the guy that makes the most tackles. He won't be the guy that makes the most passes. He won't be the guy that makes the most assists. He won't be the guy that makes the most interceptions. He won't be that guy. But what he will be is the metronome of that team. What he will be is the conductor of that team. What he will bring is experience. So to say that Elliot Anderson or Ederson is better than Tonali is subjective, and I understand that. But to say it's like a, you know, it's a done deal, I think Tonali would be a fantastic signing for Manchester United. Tchouaméni doesn't get goals and assists. Tchouaméni doesn't pass the ball as much as Casemiro. He's another conductor in a different way. So, you know, if you're looking for goals and assists from this position, you know, probably do sign Elliot Anderson. But let's not forget, Elliot Anderson didn't play this position last season. He didn't play as a holding midfielder. So we're looking for a holding midfielder, aren't we? I think Tonali and Tchouaméni fit that better than Anderson, as much as I would like Anderson, and I think he can do the role. Sale says, Tonali reminds me a bit of Roy Keane, and I'd love to see United go for him instead of getting caught up in all these Anderson rumour stories, says Sale. And I would, look, I'm very happy with Anderson, and I'd like us to sign him because we've said that we wanted him for 9 months. If we don't sign him, I'm happy with Tonali or Tchouaméni. We've just got to get one of those three. And it's a little bit like Alex Scott or Fernandez. I don't really mind. I have a preference, but I don't really mind. And with Anderson, Tonali and Tchouaméni, I certainly wouldn't be sat here if we got one of them and going, oh, wow, God, what a shit summer. I'd be very happy with any of those three. Obviously, I rank them. For me, I'd probably want Tonali first, Anderson second and Tchouaméni third. But I'd be very happy with any of them, really. Sunrise has said, I prefer Bruno G over Tonali. Brings good experience and decent price. I like Bruno Guimarães, Sunriser. There's a shithousery and passion to him that I really like. But, you know, I don't want to do it. No, you know? Let me just remove someone from the chat. Trouble is, we welcome everybody, but we do need to remove some. There we go. I wouldn't mind Martinez being used in midfield on rotation so Lenny Yarro or Hayden Heaven can play. You know what, Reckon guy? I think Martinez in the midfield could do a job, and we saw that job against Villa away just before Christmas, but that would make me sick. If we bought two midfielders and then said we're not buying another one because we can use Martinez and Mount there, that's unambitious. We need to buy three specialists. Martinez could get a bad injury again. Mason Mount will get an injury again. We can't use people that we've already got in positions where we need to strengthen. We have to be ambitious. We have to back this manager. We have to try and win the big prizes. I'm going to do the watch along later for Arsenal against PSG. When I'm watching it, I'm going to enjoy it. But honestly, how far do you think Man United are away from that? Because I think it's a fantasy. I think a Champions League final, the biggest game in football, is a fantasy for Man United at the moment. And it will remain a fantasy if we make decisions like that. Oh, we can use Martinez in the midfield. We can use Mount in the midfield. If we're serious, you've got to build something serious. Tonali, done that one. Thank you very much. Who is leaving this summer, says Mac. I don't know. Hadn't said that. Don't know. I think Xerxes needs to go. I think Ugarte needs to go, but I don't know that they will. Tonali is the pass before the pass, says Official Rare Skills. I think sometimes Tonali is the pass before the pass before the pass. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. Any rumours of a left-back or right-back to United as Francis? And literally watch the start of the video. And the difference between Hall and the next left-back is miles bigger than Tonali and Tchouaméni. Newcastle ain't selling three cornerstones, so Tchouaméni should be the one we get, says Naveen. I think because of Champions League, we need back. I've done that one. Thank you very much. Good morning, Mark and the United stands. Says Shane, good morning, pal. Hope you're doing very, very well this morning. Over 10,000 watching again. You're absolute legends. Thank you very much for that. Right, a couple of other things I want to talk to you about. I do want to talk about this, actually. Let me talk about this. We'll talk about Rashford in a moment. I got sent this morning. And look, you know what? This is what it's all about. It's all about opinion. It's all about debate. This is what actually one of my biggest concerns. So I will read it out. So this, I think it's coming from the Manchester Evening News. And it was on at Simply United on X. Alan Russell, who is a former colleague of Steve Holland at England, says this. Steve Holland has an aura about him. He is a genius. The way I work and coach now, 75% of it is because of Steve Holland. The way he works to prepare sessions, to deliver sessions, to debrief sessions, the way he communicates with staff and communicates with players. Michael Carrick is very lucky and he chose wisely with Steve. So we've got a genius in our ranks. He's an absolute genius. The way he prepares sessions, delivers sessions, debrief sessions, communicates. Well, I don't know what Michael Carrick does, if Steve Holland's doing all of this, but he has an aura and he is a genius. So we are in the company of a genius here with Steve Holland. Look, I hope we are. I really, really hope we are. But my answer to Alan, hello, Alan, is that you say he's a genius. Why was he out of a job halfway through the season? You say he's a genius. Why did Southgate play such shit football for 6 years? You say he's a genius. Why have Man United played counter-attacking football for the last 4 months? I don't think he's a genius. I don't think he's shit. I don't think he's a shit coach. I just don't particularly like him as a coach. I don't like his style of play. And as Moz says, a genius would win Premier League titles. Yeah, I think he's a good coach. If you like that, you know, it's like going in McDonald's, isn't it? And somebody saying, oh, look at this chocolate milkshake. It's the best milkshake in the world. And you go, I prefer banana. You know, Steve Holland's probably a good coach. I would concede that. But I didn't like him for England. You're talking to me who I just can't be a hypocrite. I did videos on That's Football about sacking Southgate and how crap him and his coaches were. I can't sit here and say, oh, actually, can I just shock you? I spent 6 years slagging off Holland and Southgate and actually, you know, we've got a genius. I just don't like his style of football. And until we start playing a brand of football that I like, I'll acknowledge he's a good coach. You know, England did get to finals and semi-finals. Man United got to third in the league. You know what I think he is? I think he's a pragmatic coach. I think he's a statistical coach. I think he's an analytical coach. And that can be quite effective, but I wouldn't say he's a genius. I wouldn't say his style of football is very easy on the eye. It's effective. He's an effective coach, isn't he? That's what he is. I'm being very nice this morning. He's a good coach. He's an effective coach. He's just not my cup of tea. And that's absolutely fine. Bet you're shocked there. I bet you thought I was going to start calling him names and stuff. No, there's no need. Look, he's going to be Carrick's right-hand man. I said I would back this coaching team if they got the job. There's no point in saying I don't. I want them to do well, but I'm also not going to lie to myself. I don't like the way we play football. I don't like the way that we played that England played football. And also, I think calling people geniuses, we all know the last 4 months means nothing when the next 4 months of the season start. Where we are at Christmas will matter a hell of a lot more than where we are now. Nobody, if we're mid-table at Christmas, no one's going to be talking about, oh, but he's a genius. We got third place in May. It's over. That's the brilliant thing about football. When we used to win the league with Sir Alex, you'd enjoy it for a month And then people would start buying players and you'd start going, oh God, they could be good next year. And although you're the champions, as soon as the season starts again, you're not the champions anymore. You're not celebrating. You are the champions, but you're not like, you know, it starts again. You're not the, you are the champions, but you're not, you know, because you know it's about this season. So I think the proof will be in the pudding, won't it? But I'm not convinced we're in the, you know, we're in the company of a genius, but I think we've got a good coach who's very effective. I also think it's a little bit disrespectful to Carrick. It makes it sound like Steve Holland does everything. And the one thing Michael Carrick needs to do is exert his authority, because we already know as a head coach, Wilcox has got the power. And then if his assistant coach is the genius, what is Carrick? Just a, you know, a front guy. And I don't think Carrick is that. I really don't. Dave the Brave says, ignoring the centre-back conversation is shocking. How are we expected to mount a challenge with a combination of youth and injuries? I think our centre-back scenario, Dave, is quite complex. I don't mention signing a centre-back because I don't think we need to. That doesn't mean that our centre-back pool is good enough. But when we kept Maguire and you've got Martinez and you've got Yoro and you've got Heaven and you've got De Ligt and Luke Shaw can play there and Mazraoui can play there, you've got seven centre-backs. To buy another one would be ridiculous in a back two. So I don't think we need to buy a centre-back, but you could argue, is our centre-back roster good enough? Numbers-wise, plenty. Quality-wise, availability-wise, we're going to have to wait and see, because you're right, there are injury players, there are young players. What you need there is a centre-back that can just play every single game and play well. And we need a consistent starting pair as well, which is good from Fisk. I mean, what is our best centre-back pair? That's the problem. Too many options, but not two good options. For me, our best starting pair is Martinez and De Ligt, but when are they going to be fit? I think Maguire will start a lot. And you know, honestly, you've got players like Yoro and Heaven where you think, when are they going to play? Watching on holiday in Croatia, playing football in the sun with my two-year-old nephew, three midfielders and a left-back minimum. Enjoy your holidays if you're on your holidays, United Nick. Lovely weather here in the UK again today, but won't be tomorrow, so enjoy your holidays. Which one Newcastle player would you sign, says Tabisol? Well, we can all get in that. If I could sign one player from Newcastle, I think I would take Tonali. Yeah. Yeah, I would. Yeah, I like Lewis Hall, but I think I would take Tonali because I can get a left back. I can get a left back, but if I don't get Tonali, I've got to bloody make sure I get Anderson and Tchouaméni, and that's difficult. Yeah. Anderson and Tchouaméni only for 160 or three midfielders is Dirty Deeds. We need three midfielders, Dirty Deeds. And if we sign Anderson and Tchouaméni, we're benching one of them, aren't we? Outside of Emily Derry's here in the chat. Outside of a mega injury crisis, we should not be relying on square pegs in round holes to cover gaps in the squad. The board needs to address. We've done it for too long and it got us nowhere. Completely agree. Thank you very much for that. Okay, let's talk about Marcus Rashford, because there has been a bit more. I mean, the Rashford situation is a big situation for Man United. It's a big situation for Manchester United because if Rashford doesn't stay at Barcelona, it's something we've got to solve. It's, you know, it takes up time. And I think that, you know, ideally that would work. Man United lemon coin challenge. God. We've gone back to being that football club again, haven't we? We've gone really social media. What's your favourite crisps? Lemon coin challenge. I don't know. Look, it's all fine and well when you're finishing third in the league. If we're doing lemon coin challenges next season in mid-table, it's going to go very wrong. I think United missed the boat on social media so often. It's laughable. So English reports this week saying that Man United don't want Rashford back. Spanish reports this morning, Marcus Rashford does not want to return to Man United, with Barcelona remaining his priority after Hansi Flick told him before that he's in favour of him staying. Rashford is not considering other offers and can see himself playing in Yamal's position, similar to the role Rooney had, who is going to leave, I think. So Rashford wants to stay at Barcelona, effectively. Man United, Marcus Rashford doesn't want to come back to Man United, and Manchester United don't want Marcus Rashford back. I think it could run and run all summer, if I'm being honest. And as I said to you before, I think with the Rashford situation, if Barcelona say to him, we want you to stay, we just need to make sure that you don't do anything else, because we don't want to sign you, we want to loan you, then we're going to get done. Solve that scenario for me, right? Solve this scenario, right? Marcus Rashford says, I don't want to go anywhere else. I want to stay at Barcelona. I want to go to stay at Barcelona like he did last summer. Barcelona say to Rashford, we're not going to pay the transfer fee, but we will loan you. And that is in your interest because next summer, you'll only have a 1 year left on your contract and you're 12 months away from total freedom and cash out. But Man United say we want 25 million. What do you do in that situation? I remember saying this in February. Like, we're doing it with an honour as well. We brief or journalists say, you know, Man United are going to play hardball. How do you play hardball with Barcelona when they're spending all their money on other players and they only want a loan deal for Rashford? Rashford, you're coming back to Carrington, we're selling you somewhere else. And Rashford says, I don't want to come back to Carrington and I don't want to go anywhere else. I want to go to Barcelona. So you either let me go to Barcelona or I'll come back and earn 300 grand a week with you. He ends up going on loan to Barcelona, doesn't he? And I think United might not like that, but we might have to swallow that. And the reason United don't want to loan him to Barcelona, by the way, is because they'd like 25 million, but also in a year's time, he's only got 1 year left on his deal, so we won't make any money. But the way I look at it with Rashford is we never bought him from anywhere. He came through the youth setup. We had a few good years out of him. Yes, he's been on a big wage, but Barcelona paid the wage last year. They'll pay the wage this year. And Jadon Sancho walks out of this club next month. He's cost us in excess of £120 million in transfer fees and wages. So sometimes you just got to go, look, it didn't go to plan. Let's move forward. Because we're not going to get Rashford back and then sell him somewhere else if he doesn't want to go anywhere else. Nick P says, Steve Holland is a genius. We should get him a badge he can wear like those Apple Store employees. Yeah, he could have it on the back. He could wear a tracksuit top that says genius. Resident genius. Yeah. If they both want to play that game, then we bring him home and keep him in the reserves, but it costs us 300 grand a week, JMR. Thanks for being a member. Rashford is his own worst enemy. He wants to play football or be paid mega millions. I genuinely do not have a problem with Rashford's situation. If he wants to stay in Barcelona, then, and Barcelona want to keep him, I put myself in his shoes. He's going to play in the World Cup for England. He backs himself to keep staying in the England setup and get game time in Barcelona. And he likes it there. You know, when you think about what he was going through at Man United, if he's in a place where he's happy mentally and he likes it, I'd push for it. I would push for it. I don't think he feels any obligation to Man United that he needs to earn them £25 million and, you know, go to Munich or where else. I, if I was in his situation, I'd be like, look, Barcelona want to keep me. I want to stay here. That's my final decision. If we had serious owners, Rashford would rot on the bench, says Mo. Board's fault should have been an obligation, says Blame Shifter. Could bench Mainu for Anderson and Chirmianis's dirty deeds. Still thinks that's going to happen. Belaba is the type of midfielder we need, but he didn't perform this previous season, so he's become a second option to United, says Giovanni. Why? Because he's shit. Basically, because he's had a shit season. Man United have made enough bad signings in the last 10 years. They don't need to be going to make it. I mean, look, how many flops have we bought over the last 10 years? We don't need to be going and making massive risks on players again, do we? Hi, Mark. It's good to see the hotter meter back, says Shane. Thanks for your super chat, Shane. Would you rather sign two players from the top shelf with Belaba or four decent players without Belaba, like Stiller, Scott, Garner, Edison, Fernandez, Wharton? I don't want to sign Belaba. I've seen a lot of him in the last few weeks. I don't rate him. I don't rate his style on the ball. I think he's a little bit what was the word somebody said? I don't like his first touch. I don't like the way he runs. I don't like his energy. I wouldn't go anywhere near Belabor, in my opinion. I'd much rather get people like Chiumini, Edison, Scott, Fernandez. Yeah. I think with Belabor, he's not the finished article. And I think he might be a good player in 2 years. He was a very good player about 18 months ago. But the last 12 months have been shocking. And there's loads of players that, you know, look at people like Cole Palmer now. You know, a year ago, you would not go into the World Cup. What are you talking about? A year later, doesn't deserve to go to the World Cup. So would you pay £125 million for Cole Palmer now? I mean, I might. I think a lot of you wouldn't. It's the same with Belabor. He's had a shocking season. There's better options in the shop that are less risky. I think he can be a good player, but why should we buy a player that could be a good player? Why should we buy prospects and risks? Go for the players that are ready. Would you rather Chiumini and Tonali instead of Edison? There's a lot of people asking this same question, Mantle, and I'm not having a pop at you, but would you rather Chiumini and Tonali instead of Edison, Fernandez and another midfielder? You're about the fourth person to ask this. And whilst hypotheticals are great when they're steeped in reality, why do people keep asking, would you rather sign two midfielders like Chiumini and Anderson or Tonali and Chiumini instead of three? We're not going to buy two midfielders like Chiumini and Anderson or Tonali because they're both, those two players would be on big wages. We're not going to do it. We're going to buy three. We'll buy a cheap one, Edison, a mid one, Fernandez, and an expensive one, Chiumini, Tonali or Anderson. We're not going to buy two expensive ones. So it's not about whether I'd rather or not. And I wouldn't rather, actually. I'd rather buy three because we need quantity and quality. I don't need quality. I need quantity and quality. So I need three midfielders because if I buy Chiumini and Anderson and I've got Maino, I've got three midfielders to play twice a week, I can only sub one of them. If one gets injured, I'm fucked. So I need three. Definitely three. Arnie says, I'm excited about the season, but I'm over the moon that we're not getting Belabor. The past few summer windows have been decent, especially the last one, but we need to step this window up, and I hope we will, says Ami. Arnie, thank you very much, pal. It is Arnie. It looks like Amy, but it's Arnie. Sunrise's Army says, Mark, please rank our centre-backs from best to worst. Do we need to find a replacement for De Ligt or wait and assess till December? Good question. Ranking our current centre-backs personally, and I'm taking into account ability now and future at the club. So I am including a bit of potential. I would say that right here, right now, in fifth place is Yoro. In fourth place is Maguire. In third place is Heaven. In second place is Martinez. And in first place is De Ligt. Now, obviously, I've excluded injury because availability is a trait, but I genuinely think De Ligt's the best centre-back we've got. I think Martinez, when he's fit, is very, very important to us as well. A leader, very good on the ball. Heaven, every time I've seen him, just looks amazing. I don't know why he's not getting more game time. Harry Maguire's reliable, but he's coming towards the end of his career, and I think we saw at the end of the season his vulnerability to pace in a back four. And Yoro, we just don't see enough of Yoro, let's be honest. I hope Yoro's going to be a good player, but we just don't see enough of him. Stig says, hope you're doing well, Stig. Need to be quick getting players in and getting players out. We have seen it so many times. The longer players stay, the more behind-the-scenes problems. Thank you very much, Stig, for that. Appreciate it. Okay, lovely show this morning. Enjoyed that. Do not forget that the Champions League final is at 5 p.m. UK time. So it's literally in 6 hours. Normally it's at 8 p.m. UK time. So it's a 5 p.m. kickoff. Arsenal against PSG. I'm live on That's Football. I think this video will push you there anyway. So get yourself over to That's Football for 5 p.m. A watch along. Come on, PSG. Don't want Arsenal to win it. I never want an English team to win the Champions League final unless it's Man United. And we have got an 8 o'clock show. Obviously, if anything happens, we'll go live as well. But we have got an 8 o'clock show for you as well. Take care, everyone. Stay safe. I'll speak to you all later.